No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. I'm in here today with Keen and JC. How are you guys doing?
What's up, everybody? Doing pretty good.
Very
pretty good.
Chilling, yeah.
Nice to meet you guys. I spent a lot of time last night watching some of your earlier work.
Oh, man.
I'm now an O2L super fan.
Oh, O2L. Let's go.
O2L.
Take me back to that.
Oh, dude.
How did that come about? Because like the idea of doing a collaborative boy band YouTube channel is something that I wasn't really tuned into when that was a thing.
It was a new thing. I feel like, well, back then, there was collab channels around, but it included, it wasn't like the boy bandish look. And I don't know if you want me to claim it or what, but
I was pointing at him because I was pointing at JC because he's the, mastermind. Feel like, yeah, I feel like he created it. I feel like he's the one who wanted to get everyone together.
Right.
But like you were saying, at the time it was kind of a thing, but it wasn't blowing up as big as it.
Sorry.
Whoa.
That was particularly loud. We have like 3 weeks left in this place, and that's part of why.
It sounds so weird. It sounds like it's like right here.
I can't wait until the footsteps overhead is like a distant memory. It's like a thing that we used to deal with. We leave all this shit in. This is a part of the space.
It's character.
But yeah, like I said, he created this whole thing, and at the time, it really wasn't that big of a thing. So we were kind of taking a stab at something new.
How old were you guys then?
I was like,
man, I was 20. I was
16. 2021.
Yeah. You were 16?
I was super young, yeah.
Wow.
And then there was
our youngest member was 13.
Yeah, he was
14. 13. Yeah.
And was the idea, like, did you guys have a specific conversation about, like, the idea of creating this group that would maybe, like, be bigger than you guys could be individually and that, you know, it might strike a chord in that sort of, like, young girl audience out there? Was that the idea?
Yeah. Yeah. Right around this time, like, obviously One Direction was popping. And I was like, why don't we bring this idea to YouTube, share like a channel together and have separate weekdays for individual person. So we started with 7 people actually, and
really?
We dropped one in the very,
tough.
Very beginning.
Groups are tough.
So we ended up, you know, getting big and with us six.
How did you guys end up being the ones that stayed together?
Us two.
Yeah. So at the very beginning, we all kind of did the same thing. We were all YouTubers, and we all kind of like just made silly videos on the internet. And then slowly but surely, you know, we all started feeling different, and we all wanted to pull away and do our own things. And it started with this guy named Connor. He wanted to pull out of the whole channel and, you know, pursue what he actually wanted to do. Left it to us five. We all started kind of feeling that, you know, someone wanted to sing, the other person wanted to pursue this.
And Trevor Moran wanted to become Trevor Moran.
Trevor wanted to become Trevor.
Exactly.
Trevor. I know Trevor pretty well, so to watch the videos of him when he's super young in that group is
the
crazy.
The transformation is
insane. Yeah.
It's
he's come a long way.
0 to 100.
I saw you ask him if he was going to get fake boobs.
Yeah, at some point he kept talking to me about that. I was like, dude, are you
for real?
Yeah. Okay. I was like, are you really going to do that? And he's like, stop asking me. I was like... Okay,
because you've seen him come so far with his look. It's like, kind of where does it stop? Like, is he gonna go fully? I don't even know how to describe.
Yeah,
what he's doing.
I love Trevor. I don't know. He's just been all over the place ever since like the tour. He was just always like that really like energetic one and would just say anything that's on his mind.
I can definitely see the
like
in that group thing. I could definitely see the appeal of that because having a dude like Trevor around with just that personality and that sense of humor, it just like it creates like a cool group dynamic, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. He was one of the craziest ones.
Yeah.
And he was the youngest. So.
Okay.
But like I was saying, everyone just wanted to do their own thing. But me and him felt like we were doing the exact same thing. We were just being stupid. You know, hurting ourselves for other people's entertainment. And yeah. I don't know. We kind of just want to say fuck it and go for it.
Yeah. And also we had the same like mentality on like, I guess, how hard we wanted to work for something, you know? So I think that's what gravitated towards just as like kind of like going solo or duo. So, and then we just did that in 2016.
Hey guys, just a quick word from our sponsor, BlueChew.com. BlueChew is the male performance enhancement for the bedroom that will absolutely change your life. What you do is you head on over to BlueChew.com and you talk to one of their affiliated physicians and he will work with you to find a dosage and the active ingredients that are the best for you. Now, BlueChew is a gummy, so it's delicious. It's not some big old horse pill that you got to jam down your throat. And this definitely ain't no gas station crap. this stuff has the same active ingredients as a lot of the stuff out there that is very prized in the community, if you know what I'm saying. BlueChew.com, prescribed by a doctor, made in the USA. You head on over to BlueChew.com and you get your first order free when you use promo code Adam22. You just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Adam22. I don't know if Keen and JC have ever tried this stuff, but let me just tell you, it's the bee's knees. Head on over to BlueChew.com, promo code Adam22. Let's get back into this interview. Bow. How did Charlie Puth end up doing your song? Because I saw a video of you guys performing the song last night, and it was a riveting performance.
Oh, that was, yeah. Charlie it was. Puth, we almost got a, what is it, the music? Grammy. We almost got a Grammy for that.
Wow, yeah. That would be insane.
Yeah, for that performance, it was a super good performance.
Wow.
Charlie Puth, who knew him first? You?
I don't know.
Someone knew him in the group.
Was he huge at
this
time?
Oh, you know what? I think he was producing. I think he was producing for Ricky.
Wow.
I think he was producing for Ricky.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah, he actually produced a couple of Ricky Dillon's songs. And then we knew him through Ricky, I'm assuming now. Uh-huh. And he gave us his demo. And he's like, eventually you guys are going to do this part. And Keen, you're going to do this part. Ricky, you're doing this part. And then we just left it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we just kept it him.
Yeah, and then he blew up and we never did anything with the song, and now people are like, wait, that's fucking Charlie Puth?
Right.
That's kind of a weird thing about it.
Very, very weird.
Man.
Full circle, bro.
What a weird simulation we must be living in, huh?
It's super seriously. Weird. Dude, people just blew up. Even like Shawn Mendes. Shawn Mendes just blew up out of nowhere from Vine.
Oh, really?
And yeah. I remember
the MagCon days, yeah.
He would go to this convention called MagCon, and he was with this guy named, you know, Cameron Dallas or Nash Greer or Shawn Mendes. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Little like boy band, people that are traveling all around the world, whatever. And then Shawn Mendes just blows up out of nowhere. It's kind of like the Charlie Puth. It's just, you right. never know.
What has it been like for you guys surviving through so many years of YouTube? Because YouTube just changes year after year. For you guys to still be successful and stuff, like what is your mentality on that? Do you constantly feel like you need to be rethinking what you're doing to keep your fan base interested?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that goes with pretty much anything, but like a rebrand is always good and on the right time, you know? But I'm always thinking of like, what's the next big thing? Where's YouTube going, and how can we kind of like Keen and JC force ourselves into like something that can kind of like ride that way for a little bit?
Mm.
Just coming up with this new series idea. But
you also have to keep yourself like mentally checked in. You know what I mean? You have to make sure you're doing what you actually like
100%,
doing.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's half about the fans and the viewers who want to see new things here and there.
What do your fans want to see from you guys?
It's crazy. I'm telling you, like, when we started Keen and JC, they wanted to see nothing but O2L. Like, and that's what, you know, like the whole name got us views. And then we finally got out of that wave, you know, where it's like, okay, finally they calmed down that it's over. It's not really going to come back. And then, you know, now making this new series, all they want is like our old stuff that they're like, remember, that has like millions of views now, you know, because really? we watch. And so I don't know if it's like that, like memorabilia, I guess, of what like people just like miss our old videos, so they want that. But the response on Reality House is just through the roof, so it's like hard. There's no way we can like. It's hard to go back.
Is that the first big thing that you guys have like attempted on your channel? Like first big thing outside of just making videos and stuff.
We did this thing called Last YouTuber to Leave the Box. I think that might be one of the first, like on a scale, that was one of the first big things that we hit, where we just put a bunch of YouTubers in a glass box that we built, and the last one to leave got like $10,000.
Right.
And that really like popped off. And then from there, we were like, okay, we want to do more series or more things involving other YouTubers. And I think this is one of the first actually big like ideas that we want to stick with and kind of create and build on. I think it all started with the box challenge.
It's pretty dope to see like you guys, Mr. Beast, etc., are basically like YouTubers, but who are taking on the challenge of making stuff that's way closer to being like a real TV show level production in what you guys are doing. That's because, you know, you just keep seeing the standard go up for YouTube videos. Like it used to be that people were happy with like a 20 minute vlog of just random shit.
Yeah.
And then David Dobrik comes along and just reinvents the vlog. And now you like 100%. Really see more and more like people doing interesting stuff with it. And like you guys are kind of doing it in a different way of just doing like real high production shit.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and you see with Shane Dawson too.
Yeah, I mean, Shane just Dawson's like documentaries are insane.
Editing, and like they're an hour long. You don't see that on YouTube, you know? And I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's about changing the game, I guess, and just figuring out what works.
Right. Keep progressing, I think. Like, following the wave as it's going, but like exactly like what I said before, it's kind of like staying true to yourself as well.
Uh-huh.
If you don't like what you're doing, it's going to fall apart, you know, right before your eyes. But we love what we're doing, and I think we keep hitting these cool checkpoints where we're like, all right, we're checking with each other. Do you want to do this? And he's like, yeah. We try it, and it works, and then we just keep going. But, yeah, it's super weird to think about. Like, the O2L days, back then,
no, bro.
People would just do, like, the stupidest, smallest little videos, and everyone would love them.
Eating a cheeseburger challenge.
In 1 minute, yeah. And it'd be, like, a one-minute video.
Legit, we had a challenge on O2L. It's whoever could eat the most Taco Bell tacos and do the most push-ups. Remember that? Like, that was our week.
I don't remember that.
It was so dumb. Yeah. Like, what the?
But, yeah, it's... what a time.
Do you feel like... Because, like, I remember when Logan Paul, in the lead-up to his fight, that was one thing that he said is, like, where do I go from here? Do I go back to making goofy ass vlogs after this, after doing the boxing thing, something that's so much bigger? Is there ever, does it feel like that ever where you guys are like, it feels like you've kind of outgrown the sort of content that made us popular in the first place?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that. It's 1000%. Like, obviously we know our roots and what we've done has led us to where we are now, you know? So it's just so hard to like, after, you know, we put so much money into this and so much time and effort, and we're still working on it and still going on now. So it's just so hard knowing after February 10th, which is the last episode.
What's
like,
next?
What are we going to, like, are we going to film like a mukbang after? It's like, dude, it's hard to like go back. And like, we know it's not going to do as well. So that's a conversation we need to have, just like more of like a, like, where do we go from here? Are we going to produce more shows? Are we going to turn K&J into, like, a network, you know?
Right.
But that's what's like, rolling in our minds now.
So when you guys decided to do The Reality House the first season, like, how did that idea progress? Was that the original idea, or how did it develop?
Dude. It was super weird. Super, super, super weird.
Yeah.
So, long story medium, basically, We kind of had this idea after the box video that we saw. We did a 3-part series on the box video. We were like, we want to do more stuff that's kind of series based. And it just so happened that I was leaving for 10 weeks. I was going to Finland to shoot a show. And we were just sitting in the car and we were kind of thinking of what we can do and how many videos we would have to put up, which was going to be like 10. And we're like, well, what could we do? We're going to have to film like three-part series, which would equate to 9 videos, and that really wouldn't be enough, and blah, blah, blah. And then, I don't know which one of us, we always have this argument, but one of us said, let's just do one thing and cut that into 10 parts and upload that while I'm gone.
Mm.
And it turned into, you know, let's just get a bunch of YouTubers and kind of throw them in a house, like the box. Let's just throw them in a house this time and see the last person to leave. And it kind of just stemmed from there. It was a super weird conversation. It was out of nowhere, and just us in a car kind of throwing ideas at each other, but it worked.
I think the biggest thing that sucked about that is that we were on a time frame. Like, he had to leave at a certain day, and we only had like 2 weeks.
Right.
I'm like, dude, we have to film a 10-part series or something within these 2 weeks. And that's when we started thinking, and it just so happened that, like, you know, we start thinking, and then we get the idea. We had to get an Airbnb. We had to get 13 YouTubers on board, get the 25K cash, and set up all these challenges and rules, put them in a house, film it, and then, you know, send it off to our editor, you know, in time for him to leave on time. So that's what was challenging. And then we never knew it was going to be this big. It got a lot of, like, eyes on it.
Right.
I think the first episode got close to, like, 5 million views. And it made articles and stuff. We didn't get PR for that or anything. And then it just sucked because we knew that when it came down to the episodes, people didn't really know what was going on. They just thought it was like a new house full of YouTubers. What could go wrong? But no one knew that we recorded in that house for only a day and a half.
Oh, wow. Really?
So we had to stretch the 10 episodes. And it was just like, it's almost like per hour type thing. And so not much happened. And I knew it was coming. So obviously the views died. So I think that's the only thing that sucked on our end, that we weren't prepared for it to be this big.
We had no time, I feel like, to...
When I watched the original one, too, it was kind of weird with the sound and stuff, too. It was kind of hard. Bad. Like, I was actually super impressed with the second season. Like, how did you guys go about leveling up the production? Because it's way better quality?
More money.
Yeah. Long story short, more money. The first season, we got so many comments and, you know, requests to do certain things. And even, like, we had some internal conversations where we're like, this didn't work. We're not going to do it for season two. This worked. Let's heighten it up. Or this, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we kind of took everything into consideration and bit the bullet kind of on, you know, bumping up the production and spending way more money on mics, which is, you know, people don't really realize that that's a huge thing. Even with these, audio. It's like, especially this makes like, such a difference. Like, this is the first thing we were talking about was the microphones.
Mm. You need like 14 of them too.
You can get away with shitty video, but audio, if you have good audio and bad video, it's fine. If you have good video with bad audio, it's not okay.
It turns the video bad. It turns every, So audio was a huge, huge thing. We ended up doing some lav mics where we just put them on every, you know, we wake them up super early, put some mics on them, and capture pretty much every moment that ever happened.
Right. As somebody who is currently dating someone who may or may not be in the room, who was one of the guinea pigs in this experiment, to what extent do you feel like you're almost sort of like torturing these people? Like, is there any extent to which you feel okay making them feel uncomfortable? Like, that's kind of part of it. Like she told me at one point that there was some bucket that she was standing on for like a long period of time. It's like, at any point, do you start to feel like a torturer of sorts?
I mean, I know what you mean.
I feel like there's a gray area. There's no fine line where it's like, okay, we can't do this.
Right.
Well, obviously you can see certain things like no, yes, no, yes. But then there's a certain thing like the bucket, for instance, it's like, how long can we make them stand on the buckets? Because it all comes down to who wants it. You know, the most.
Yeah.
Who's not going to stand on the bucket the longest, or who's not going to eat this cockroach, and who is going to eat this cockroach, or whatever happens. Or,
like, if you put a cockroach on somebody and the cockroach bites them and they get a horrible disease and they die, like, is that the kind of thing that you're thinking about when you're doing this?
Honestly, yes.
Not necessarily.
Yes. Okay. We actually had...
Is there insurance involved?
Yes. For the bug box challenge, actually, we had... What do we have? We have like this
hissing cockroaches?
No. It was the third. It was the third bug we left out because we looked it up and they ended up biting. They
could like bite. Maggots or something.
Mm. It was like these worms, like type of worms. It was massive worms. And we actually looked it up, and apparently they bite under pressure, and we're like, oh no, all right, we can't do this. So we ended up leaving those bugs out. So stuff like that. And I think that's the only time I thought, I was like, oh my gosh, are we going too far with this bug box thing? Because that, like, I can't. I would obviously probably do it under pressure, but even I, like, was freaking out in the garage when we were getting that shit ready. So that freaked me out. And you remember that, right?
Remember doing the challenge?
No, yeah, I remember in the garage, and I was just like, dude, are we, is this too far?
Yeah. So that was a slight issue. It was a speed bump in the production. It gave us like a little halt for a couple minutes, just because we built these boxes by hand. No joke. Mm. We got these boxes, cut holes in it, put glue on it, made these things from scratch. Last second, JC was like, I don't know if we should do this. I was like, dude, it's rock and roll. It's like, we got to go right now or not do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, there's times where you're like, you feel bad. Because when we put those buckets up, we went right back to bed. Did we?
I took a little nap. Yeah, we alternated.
But yeah, there's certain things where we're like, maybe this is too far. But then it all comes down to like that mentality of like, who wants it more?
Right.
So we have to put them through kind of strenuous activity and running and mental. Because if everything was one straight line and everyone, you know, if it was all physical, the strongest person's gonna win.
I saw that the girl Tila was going viral because there was a challenge where basically like one person had to do some math and the other person had to swim, and she like can't do math and can't swim. Yeah. Was there any temptation to like change the rules at all at that point? Because you probably felt pretty bad for her that it happened to be like both of her weak suits.
That's exactly what happened. I even told Kian, he's like, dude, don't even change it, man. So I ended up changing the rules like on the spot, and I was like, hey Tila, we realize you can't swim, so if you do want to swim, we're gonna put it in the shallow end. And even then she was like, I don't know if I can do that.
Wow.
And I'm like, man, all right, well,
it was really that
we
bad,
gave you the option.
Damn.
But yeah, she trended, and it wasn't a good trend,
dude. We gotta teach the world to swim.
Yeah.
Or do math.
I just saw Andy.
Simple math. It's not simple math, but it's like.
She seems like such a nice girl. I felt bad laughing at it, but I did notice that it went viral.
A lot of people were saying Well, yeah, because she couldn't do the math and she couldn't swim, so she didn't really have a choice. But a lot of people felt bad for Amari because Amari also got out with her since it was a team challenge.
Amari is such a sweetheart as
Such a sweetheart, yes. Yeah. And he, unfortunately, just got paired with the wrong person, and, you know, she couldn't make up her mind and she couldn't do math. And right. Even in the swimming thing, I wish we would have talked her into it a little bit more, because the shallow end, you don't necessarily have to swim. All you have to do is stand up.
Right.
Yeah.
Some people have a straight phobia of water like that. Yeah. And I guess I could see, like, if you don't know how to swim, it might be kind of scary to even stick your head underwater.
You want to get in, yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
So that's just how it is.
How stressful is it when you guys are doing it? Because there's certain people like Trisha and like Fousey and shit that I just imagine are like kind of a constant like windmill of emotions, and they might just decide they want to leave at any given second. Or
I feel that. I mean, you know what? We never really got a full on Fousey tube action.
Right.
I wish we did.
I really wanted to know what he would, you know, do under the pressure of like staying in this house for 5 days. Damn. No phone.
He would have gone crazy.
So I don't know.
He seemed like he wanted it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of sad that he left first episode. But Trisha, she was not having it. Like when she lost, she was ready to go.
Right.
I think we had so much personality in the house that, you know, I think if we had a Fousey or if we had, you know, more people in the house, it would have just been too much. You know, we had Harrison, who was not saying one word at any point.
Lena's doing puzzles,
yeah.
She literally completed like a 1,000-piece puzzle.
Like three of them.
She's been puzzling ever since.
Yeah.
That's all she does at home.
Nice.
I got her like a puzzle easel.
Yeah.
It's like at an angle and shit. It's got felt. Yeah.
She has wine in one hand.
She's just over there doing the outlines.
Yeah. No, but we had everything. We had, you know, Harrison, who wasn't saying one word, and then we had Taylor, who was saying
a lot. Taylor kind of dominates the early episodes for sure. Huh?
Oh yeah, she for sure establishes her dominance. A lot of people, I think, were scared and had her as the biggest.
She says it herself. You either love her or hate her, right? So she's so passionate about certain topics and things. So.
Yeah.
Are you guys intentionally bringing people together that you think will hate each other, or, you know, like people who are more controversial are more valuable? And then there's also like the component of how much clout they have, obviously, which is how many viewers they're going to bring
that
in.
That component.
Yeah.
Yeah. All those components. Yeah. We
it's
we
a
definitely,
complex algorithm.
Yeah. Like season one, we kind of just like, hey, like our friends, you're like, hey, you want to do this? You want to do this? You want to do this? And everyone kind of like agreed. So that was kind of like more of like a chill. And we kind of like figured out who actually, you know, puts on like a show,
right?
You know, obviously. And so that's why we brought back those season one players. But I think choosing the season two cast, it was definitely more of like a diverse,
more pick and choose. Yeah, more like more intricate.
Who's quiet, who's like loud on social media, you know.
We want a little bit of everything, I think.
So yeah, I think we got a good mix.
Were there any like dream candidates that you guys weren't able to get that maybe at one point you thought you might be able to get? Because obviously if you were able to get somebody like Tana, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
she's doing her own thing on MTV. I'm sure she wouldn't be able to, but.
Yeah.
She's, I mean, right? That's exactly what we're thinking.
Tana's also the queen of, yes, I will do it.
Oh, 100%.
Nah, sorry, I can't
and
do
they
it.
Can't do it. Last second. I'm telling you, bro.
So we had her in mind for the box video. We invited her. She said no.
She said yes, didn't show up.
Oh, yeah. So
she was on a Vegas flight, and she's going to be late. I'm like, bro, we can't wait.
We did a second box video, said yes, didn't show up. The first reality house said yes, didn't show up. Second season, there was a little mix-up. I think she said yes, but her manager was saying no. Just with Tana, there was a bunch of mix-up at any given moment.
Yeah.
For everything we've ever asked, it was like, yeah, no, I don't know. I might be in Jamaica or whatever.
Now she's saying yes again, dude. So
she texted me personally saying, I want to do season three. No matter what, one of the dates, I'll be there.
Right.
So hopefully we see her in season three, but we're not counting on it.
Yeah, we'll see.
She's a mess. Yeah. We don't know what the hell she's going to do next.
It's a beautiful mess.
Yeah, beautiful mess. It's probably like a stereotype about influencers that they're kind of bougie and that they all got money and that they all live in their nice fucking condos and stuff. Like, you guys are basically just taking them and making them sleep on bunk beds and eat pizza and shit. Is that like,
I love that
part of the fun is like, hey, you're not so special after all. Like, we're going to treat you like a regular old Joe.
Yeah. Everyone's on the same plane.
I think, yeah. I mean, a mattress is a mattress. I think, I mean, I wasn't too, I mean, there's times where I had to wake up at 3. I don't know. This is a competition, you know. It's not like you're there for fun. I mean, it could be fun depending on how you take it, but you know, you're there for $50,000 cash, you know. And some people needed the money, and obviously, as you can see in the season, like some people just didn't. And yeah,
I think it's important. I would have loved to bouged it up a little bit more and, you know, bought a double the expensive
everyone
house.
Everyone get a queen bed.
Everyone gets their own room, their own bathroom. But
you got to work with our budget.
Think, yeah, what we did was perfect because everyone was in the same room except Taylor and Andrea and whoever wanted to sleep out on the couch or whatever. Everyone's kind of in the same room so you can hear like what's actually going on or I don't know. No one has their own space. So it kind of creates that world where everyone's super uncomfortable and they're just like, get the hell out of my face.
Right.
I'm here to win money. Shut up.
Yeah.
So I think that worked really well. And
you guys haven't had anybody hook up yet, huh?
No.
Not yet.
It feels like that just won't happen by accident. It's like you have to like really like pick like horny, hot people that you think will want to hook up.
You know what? Actually, I feel you.
Like I remember in the real world that the first few seasons nobody ever hooked up, so they had to start getting people that were like the types of people that were just gonna hook up with whoever.
Yeah, for sure. I think we learned a lot in season two, obviously. So, you know, come season three.
Lena probably knows some
make
people.
Sure we gotta get some single people.
Lena knows some girls that will be like that for sure.
Yeah. We want to do something very special and well maybe different for the internet space, different for season three. We want to do something where I don't know if this is kind of a spoiler. We're spoiling our own shit.
Couples.
So it doesn't really matter. But we want to do couples, or exes, or traditional versus social media, or even just college edition, where we just invite a bunch of people who are in different colleges from different states, and they can represent their own states or their own colleges, and kind of just have a free for all. Like you do whatever you want, but you have to wake up in the morning. You know, you can get as drunk as you want. You can hook up with whoever you want. You can do whatever you want. Just wake up in the morning, compete, and the same old thing, but just with college kids. I think it'll get a little bit crazier.
That could be interesting.
Yeah. Those are the four ideas we have for, we just need, I mean, we have the money. We do it tomorrow.
Are you guys supplying alcohol during this?
Yes. We made sure everyone was over 21 too, because we didn't want to deal with that.
Yeah, that would get complicated.
Yeah.
But you guys supplying the alcohol, like, did anybody like end up getting shit-faced enough that it becomes an issue?
Season one, yes, I'd say.
Season one was trashy.
It was pretty trashy.
Season one was pretty trashy.
Season two, everyone kind of held it together, I think.
No one really got that crazy. Dom, maybe a little bit. Andrea, maybe a little bit. I'm trying to think of who else even got... Who drank?
Kenny Knox. He drank a little bit, but I feel like everyone kind of kept together. Elijah was kind of pissed drunk.
Elijah definitely seems like he'd be having some drinks.
He was in and out, so.
Some drinks.
So
everyone that left in that episode, Elijah, you know, Sarah, whoever left except Trisha, everyone had a drink. Everyone had a drink in their hand. It was taken in the car when they were leaving, or they chugged their drink before they got in the car.
It feels like a lot of influencers are probably smart enough to know that if they get drunk on camera that it will be bad for their career.
Yeah, probably.
Because they will do something stupid or, yeah.
That's
where the college kids come to play.
Yeah, you gotta get some people
I know they
who
can
have
drink.
No concept of their future or anything.
Get a bunch of people and hopefully have another trashy season. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Season one was super fun, but it was just so scrambled.
Right.
Yeah. We were scrambling to find it was too much.
Have you guys started casting for season three yet though?
Secretly. Secretly, yeah.
Just sort of scouting. Possible opportunity. You guys should do a TikTok house.
TikTok?
Oh God.
The only thing is that they're all so young, you know. So we could have instead of alcohol, we just have like milk.
Right.
Yeah.
Milk
in the fridge.
Yeah. Milk and cookies. Some orange juices.
I don't know.
I just wonder what would happen if we put TikTokers through like challenges because that's not what they're used to. They're used to like you know filling their arms around and putting them behind their back and
a lot of dance challenges and stuff maybe.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to see them out of their element a little bit. I think that'd be fun to put TikToks, but. Or TikTokers in, but I just don't know how.
Yeah.
I don't know the concept.
Have you guys adapted to TikTok yet? Have you tried?
I'm just addicted to watching.
Yeah, pretty addicted to watching.
Every time I watch it, I find out about some new shit that I'm just baffled by.
Yeah. Like, you'll come across those videos.
What the hell is happening in the world? I just feel like I'm so getting old when I look at TikTok.
Yeah.
I feel you.
It's cool, though.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the first wave of... You know, YouTube, where it's just stupid shit. People are like, oh, I love it. Oh my God, I'm going to watch. I'm going to subscribe. It's like TikTok. You watch it, like, what is this?
Right.
But it's just the new wave.
Everyone's, millions of likes.
Yeah. Everyone's just watching. If you know, if I watched myself years ago, I'd be like, what the hell is
this?
Oh,
yeah, 100%.
It would be dope to see.
Why is anyone watching this?
I would like to see you guys do something more like Survivor with YouTubers. Have you thought about that at all? Sort of putting them out on an island with no supplies or anything and just letting them figure it out.
Everyone freaked out. We took away their phones, and everyone freaked out with no phones.
Even that,
I know,
I don't think anyone would be loving the island idea. Oh, unless there was a Four Seasons on it.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, man.
Four Seasons, yeah.
Yeah, it really does definitely make you think about how bougie you are once you start thinking about once you're removed from your like specific habits and routines and shit, everything just feels kind of overwhelming.
Out of place. And you don't know. Yeah, you can't really focus. Mm. Yeah, the phones thing.
That was pretty out. That was pretty big. Yeah, because people were going to bed early just to get their phone, you know?
Right.
Because we give it to them after they got demiked. But people were going to bed at like 7. And I'm like, no, damn well, you're not going to bed.
Yeah.
They're like, no, amazing. I'm going to bed. I'm like,
It got people talking, though. People were, you know, making puzzles like Lena and, I don't know, talking and drinking and jacuzzi.
Doing a puzzle is like the closest thing to being on your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need more entertainment for season 3. I feel like that's...
We should have left the TVs.
They were getting cabin fever, like, fucking, dude.
Bad.
At one point, they're asking, like, can we go to, like, a Subway... I'm like, there's not really a Subway around, and we can't transport everyone.
Everyone's talking about going out, too. Mm. I don't know who. I think it was your idea, or someone brought
it
up to you.
I think it was brought up by maybe Lena or even Andrea.
Just to go out drinking or something?
Yeah, can we just go to, like, the nearest bar just to hang out? Because, like, we're so bored.
Yeah.
That was, like day one, too. Maybe day two.
Yeah.
Lena wanted to go to a bar. I never heard of it.
So early on.
Yeah, dude, I can understand that, though. A lot of people really, like, crave socializing. But are you guys in a state of, like, nervous, like, anxiety the whole time because there are so many moving pieces that you basically have to coordinate? I'm sure it's just much more complicated than it looks on camera.
For sure.
Ripping our hair out.
Especially when you're, like, operating a crane to, like, drop people down into, like, a thing of balls. And I'm sure there's 1,000%. Just so much on that.
Honestly, dude, I think... For me, what I get, like, my like, anxiety through is just, like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm not over there where something's happening. I'm over here doing something else. Mm. Like, I'm just hoping, like, the people that we gave the job to over there is, like, doing a good job, you know? Because I can't obviously do everything at once. He can't do everything at once. So I'm just, like, I'm praying, like, as everything's going on, like, I just hope this is a good show, you know? Yeah. I don't know what's going on over there. I don't know if we got a good shot or not, so... I think that's what my worry comes from. Yeah, the crane was pretty safe.
My thing was kind of just getting everyone grouped together. There was so, like you said, there's so many people there.
Just herding humans is tough sometimes. So hard. Yeah.
At sometimes it was kind of difficult. Also because we weren't, you know, Lena could attest to this. We weren't so great on like our timing. We'd be like, okay, we're gonna get this done in 30 minutes. It would take 2 hours.
Yeah.
We'd be like, all right, we're gonna be ready in an hour. It would take 4.
So there was
just times where, you know, we were trying to set something up and then some of the contestants were like, when are we doing it? What are we doing? Why can't we do it now? Can we eat? And we're like, hold on.
Oh my God. We have people that are vegetarian, vegan. Boy. And I was like, man, this is so hard.
Them.
Yeah. It's hard.
At times it got a little rough, but we managed. We got through it.
It's got to be just a huge learning experience. How old are you guys again?
27.
24. Okay. So pretty young to be like taking on such a thing. You guys have like a big team around you or like a decent team that helps you run all this stuff?
Not big, decent.
Yeah, we're a very skilled team. I think you know it's a small team, but everyone knows what they're doing.
Definitely.
And they're a huge help. But in this, you know, specific thing, it's just us two throwing this together and, you know, kind of like our friends and a small production crew and it's just, it might be too much for two people to do.
Right.
So for season 3, we're kind of looking to branch out and get more help and just focus on being hosts instead of, you know, hurting all these people and then focusing on the lunch orders and then hosting and waking up early and this and that.
You guys are both in relationships, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That sucks because it would be so good if you were able to do like a Flavor of Love type thing.
Or
you could find some other eligible bachelor. Jake Paul or something.
Yeah, exactly. Jake Paul, newly single. We would love to, but then it gets to the what we were just talking about doing a bachelor and we're like, maybe not because
they
could get so weird so
like,
quick.
It's just like we're so like eat a tarantula, like get in this bug box. But like if when it came to like love, you know, it's like.
We have no idea what we're doing.
What do we put these guys or put guys or girls through? You know,
even The Bachelor. I don't watch The Bachelor, so I don't know. How do they? eliminate someone?
I don't know.
Like, it's like the roses, bro. Like,
they all decide who is in love with the person the most, right? Or like, who's there for the right reasons.
But
like,
yeah,
it seems so crazy.
The episode is like, how do you find out? Like, what do they do to kind of like,
I think they do small challenges. Really? I think. I don't know. I haven't seen The Bachelor, to be honest.
That's what we talked about.
Like, Flavor of Love, he put him through like challenges, I think.
Bug eating challenges and
like
stuff?
Like mud wrestling or something. I don't know what he put him through.
Oh, Flavor of Love?
Yes.
Maybe Rock of Love.
Prove how much you love me. Eat this roach.
Yeah. So I don't know. We talked about Bachelor, but it kind of died because we just have no idea what we're doing. Yeah.
It seems like such a crazy idea. Like if you were single and I put you in a room with 20 girls, I feel like you're going to have a pretty good idea which one you would want to date the most within like a half hour.
I know what you mean.
You know, all these tests and trials are realistically not going to do that much.
Yeah, no. I feel that. I feel that.
Such a crazy thing to think about. Our society is so weird.
It'd be cool, though, to like just test it out, like, right? Like, who would have thought that we could do this Reality House thing and we did it?
Do you watch other reality shows now and you're like kind of in awe because you actually think like, that's crazy they actually pulled that off?
Yeah.
I was watching American Ninja Warrior the other day and I'm like, man, this is a fucking production.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I watched Love Island with my girlfriend.
Mm.
And I now just watching, it's like, it's just like, it's more of like a study rather than just like enjoyment.
Right.
It's like, oh, dang, this is how they did this.
I don't know where it comes from, but like, we both like reality TV shows, I guess, but I feel like we have two different genres. You mainly stick to like the Love Islands and the, you know.
Yeah, I like Real World, The Challenge, Are You the One, all that.
I like Jersey Shore. I like Jersey Shore. Just the fucking craziness, the messiness, the drinking, like the security camera vibe. Like,
they were hooking up.
I just like that dynamic where it's just like so crazy. It just keeps you intrigued.
Remember how weird it was that they would have like the nighttime camera and then they would be like watching the tape from
in
it
the
and
rooms.
You'd be able to see someone humping somebody else. But everybody would be able to see it and they would just be talking about it. Like there was no privacy. That shit was so crazy.
Yeah. So excluding some of those, I would love to dive into the reality of Jersey Shore a little bit more.
Mm.
I just think it's crazy.
Who's LA's Jersey Shore? That's what we need to find. It's like, I don't.
That group of people?
People who are like that.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. It'd be amazing.
It's like finding those people. I think Dom's one of them.
Dom, yeah. We want to keep Dom coming one of back.
The Bachelor with Dom would be good.
True.
I feel like Dom would have, out of those 20 girls, like you just said, you're like,
he'd pick them all. He's like,
that's what I'm saying.
I want them all.
I don't think he'd be like, ooh, yeah, she's going to work. I think she'd be like, I don't know what to do. I like all of them.
That's a good idea, funny. Dude. That's
just amazing. Throw Dom in a Bachelor.
Yeah.
Let's throw him in the Bachelorette. And he's just one of the, wait, does that make sense?
Yeah, right? No, like that's the other weird way to think about it is a bunch of dudes who are all trying to impress. Like,
and Dom's just one of the dudes?
Yeah.
Everyone else just college kids?
I would love to see how far Dom gets.
A bunch of influencers trying to win over like one more popular influencer.
Yeah, throw Tana as the Bachelorette. Yeah. And there's just a bunch of bachelors that are also influencers.
That I think she would show up for. Like the idea of just like 30 dudes early. Just like wanting to be with her so bad. Like she might actually appreciate that energy.
Maybe we could pitch it.
Yeah, we'll see.
There's no way.
We'll see.
No, there's no way. We do want to dive into doing more reality shows. We want to build more shows just because we saw the, you know, what we can do mentally and, you know, what we can do together. And I think we know what works and what doesn't work. And I don't know, we kind of just want to dive into that world a little bit more. And hopefully it works, but
that's dope, honestly. It's just dope to see like YouTubers who are branching into different things and just covering new terrain that hasn't necessarily been handled. So it's very motivational.
For sure. Oh, thank you. Hell yeah.
For sure.
That's what I'm trying to get.
How many more weeks we got left of watching these episodes? I'm dying to find out who wins.
A week and a half. Because tomorrow's episode 7.
What's tomorrow, Friday?
Tomorrow's Friday, yeah. We got episode 7, then 8, 9, and then we got the finale.
Yeah, we have 3 more videos.
And if you want a little inside scoop, we haven't even told the contestants yet, so.
I think Lena knows.
We told Lena just now, but we're thinking about, and very, very strong possibility that we're going to do a reunion show and then release it after the finale, so.
I think it would be really cool and really funny just to get everyone back in one place after seeing everything because, like, you know, when Taylor's talking her crap and then Tab's in the other room not listening and Manny's over here and Andrew's over here. After everyone gets to watch it and watch what actually happens behind the scenes and then get everyone back in the same room, I just think the tensions will be...
The tea. Yeah. It's all about just spilling the tea.
Definitely. I really want to see what happens. So that sounds like a good idea. I think we're trying to further that as much as we can.
Definitely.
To get it to happen.
Definitely.
Yeah. So hopefully three more episodes and then reunion.
If somebody hits the other person, that's like the holy grail of reality TV. Oh, yeah, 100%.
A full punch.
Yeah. 100%. Like we watch Love and Hip Hop and... there's just one scene where one of the girls attacks the other girl and they replay it every fucking episode. Yeah, like it was really? Like the fucking biggest thing ever. It was like the 9/11 Holy of grail. The Love and Hip Hop world.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. I think that would happen if we did something involving some massive. College people.
Yeah.
College people, I mean, we'll go insane, I think.
Definitely. Definitely.
We've been getting a lot of tweets to do college.
Yeah.
There's even a tweet that blew up.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah, so
I feel for you guys. Yeah, good ass insurance policy though. Because if you got people drinking there and shit, my god,
step up a little bit on that.
Yeah, we got to get like a bodyguard and everything. Oh, yeah. I'm not trying to stop a college fight.
You guys don't have security guards normally?
We tried to hire one for this season. Luckily, we didn't need one. Oh, okay. But I mean, if we ever do something like that where we don't really know the people,
100%. We were talking about it a little bit. Oh fuck, we were talking about it a little bit just to see if we wanted to get bodyguards for this time because we were kind of pre-planning certain things and, you know, this challenge might get out of hand, or if we invite this person and this person's already here, it might get a little out of hand. So I think you brought it up and I talked him out of it. I was just like, you know, all these YouTubers have reputations. No one's actually going to throw a punch or, you know, do anything stupid. So I think we, you know, we diffused that. We didn't get any. But for season three, if we did anything crazy with, you know, traditional people or even college people were for sure going
to
get.
Lena is definitely the most likely to throw a punch, if you ask me.
For sure? Yeah. Yeah, who?
Just anyone, really. She's dangerous. Yeah. See that beanie?
She's all could smiling. Happen. Saying no.
I've seen bank robbers wear beanies like that.
Oh, what are you trying to hide, Lena?
Mm-hmm.
Your little eye holes. She flips it down.
Yeah. It could happen. All right. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on. And
this was fun.
Much respect for what you guys have built. It's pretty crazy, to be
Thank
honest.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Definitely. I'll be watching.
Hell yeah.
Keenan and JC, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. New Kendamas up now. Reality House episodes dropping on their channel. Not here, obviously.
Let's go.
Appreciate y'all. Peace.
Peace.